One of the reasons I love baseball is that, like discipleship, it is a game of failure. Fail 7 out of 10 times, succeed 3 out of 10 times, and you're among the top players in the game. In baseball, to teach a player how to succeed is to teach a player how to fail. Kick the dust off of your cleats and get back out in the batter's box. Failure is the only way to learn humility, one of the core virtues of what it means to be Christian. You probably know that the root word of humility, humus, literally means ground or dirt. Discipleship means getting dirty, staying humble. Maybe you felt this when you've went to bat for your faith, when you stepped up to the plate for pro-life or argued for the existence of God with someone, and you got pummeled by someone much smarter than you. Don't be mad. Shake the dust. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he already knew they were going to face failure and stiff opposition. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. The disciples were the rebuilding Orioles going up against the Yankees. Jesus throws the disciples out onto the mission field to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand, and really nothing else other than that, to see how they do. The disciples are a bunch of Sandlot bush leaguers about to get teed up for batting practice by the religious professional scribes and Pharisees. They're going to lose some, maybe all. Don't be mad, bro. Shake the dust. We all want to succeed as evangelists, to go out and wish that we could convert all the world and have all the magic things to say. But discipleship is first about learning how to fail. In my experience, there aren't many books or podcasts or big ministry conferences celebrating failure. We want success. We want our program to work and to make an immediate splash. Foolproof strategies that won't make me risk looking dumb. Solutions sell. Who listens to losers? When a fear of failure dominates our mentality or our discipleship strategy, we begin to pursue winning at all costs. And that is not the way of Jesus. We are tempted to make compromises that produce the outcomes we prefer, even if that means selling out our integrity or principles. Looking back when I was growing up in the 90s and playing Little League Baseball, the steroids scandal was something like this. The game, it seemed, became more about breaking records than the love of the game. At that time, it was exciting and inspiring watching those big names like Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa or Jose Canseco or Barry Bonds. It felt like we were watching history before our eyes. But looking back, even if they were great, it all seems kind of deceptive now. It's difficult to celebrate their success without qualification. And now in all of the history books, there are asterisks next to their records and names. It was a tainted victory. The cross is not a tainted victory because Jesus did not resort to questionable tactics to achieve his purpose. Jesus was the exact same person in his life and ministry as on the cross and at the resurrection. There was no gap in his character between the ends and the means of his own ministry. Jesus chose to suffer rather than take shortcuts or make unholy alliances to gain the upper hand. He teaches us that Christians can't be sore losers, because we're going to lose sometimes. As much as we eat up celebrity culture, we, if we're honest, equally revel when the mighty fall, when we actually root for people we don't like to fail. When this happens, when they do fall, we assume that they must just be fakes and phonies or not very gifted. And because of that, we can hide behind their misfortune because we ourselves don't want to be exposed for imposter syndrome. But life includes making mistakes and failures all the time. What does not easily capture our imagination is the grind and the hustle that happens in between for the majority of our lives, the daily living and dying to self that occupies our time and energy in our lives and our ministries, the small sacrifices, the thankless jobs that no one notices as parents, the ideas that flop. Meanwhile, we end up eating up sensationalized stories of success and failure in an escape from what is ordinary and real, and ultimately redemptive. Learning how to fail gracefully is the best defense against the great enemy of faith, despair. Learning how to fail gracefully helps us to face our challenges without giving in to despair. Disciples are more attracted to stories of redemption than stories of outward success. And what he called a theology of failure, a phrase I like, the theologian named John Nivone, he wrote this, said, "The risen Christ is the answer to human failure. It is the hope, joy, and consolation for the billions of little nobodies whom the successful and powerful of this world deem to be total failures, that God's standards of success and failure are not ours. What counts before God transcends anything that the godless are capable of imagining. The wisdom of God is folly to the godless. The wisdom of the godless is folly to the godly." Success and failure actually have far less to do with the size or location of a church than what values and expectations shape the content of our discipleship. When we unconsciously conflate American pragmatic principles for gospel virtues, we run the risk of making disciples who measure their faithfulness by a standard of fruitfulness that's foreign to the gospel, and creating unhealthy models of ministry, unhealthy for our souls and unhealthy communities. What shapes our discipleship, you might say the shape of discipleship, is the cross. St. Paul proclaims today, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." He talks about bearing the mark of the cross on his body, which means that sometimes what we do will look like failures by the world's standards. That's the mark of the cross that we bear for others to see. We won't always look like successes to others. In our beautiful collect to begin Mass today, we prayed, "O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world." In the eyes of Jesus' disciples, the cross was first seen as a great failure before it could be understood as a victory. You might recall the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They thought that they had just seen a failure. Jesus died on the cross, and game over, I guess. But this is the paradox of discipleship. To win your life, you must first lose it. To be a faithful disciple, you must first learn to fail into the arms of God. I think a lot of good effort at evangelization doesn't get off the ground out of failure and the fear of failure. Think about it. if every one of us, if each one of us went home and decided to invite one person to church next weekend, or to something like our Midsummer Night's Mercy, and only 1 out of 10 people accepted that invitation, meaning that 9 out of 10 people get shot down. You're batting 100. That would still mean that our church grew by 10% next week. When we look at it individually, I failed 9 out of 10 times. But when we begin to look at ourselves as a team, that's 10% over a weekend. And that's pretty good. Even with a lot of failure, the church can still grow and still accomplish its mission. We just can't be afraid of failing, because we know it's probably going to happen. Evangelization isn't about becoming more efficient or successful or slick religious salespeople. Ultimately, it's about conforming our life story to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But it usually goes in that order. The grind and the hustle, the failure, and then the success, the fruitfulness of the resurrection. By the end of the gospel, the 72 returned rejoicing. And Jesus tells them, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you." That is, don't rejoice in your wins, don't get cocky, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven, because you are part of that heavenly roster. You won't be cut from the team because your average isn't all that high. What God will want to know is, have you stepped up to the plate and went to bat for your beliefs? The kingdom of God is at hand. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. You have permission to fail.